Podlina.
My goodness me.
Oh, we'll get there.
Podlina. Private panel. I'm on Sex Watch.
Hey, do you want to wear that top?
It's good. It's brown. Where are the bobbleheads?
Mr. J.
Ira Tulip.
Hello, everyone. Hey, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Podlinum. I'm one of your three Podlinum co-hosts. My name is J.W. Crump, and just remember, be beautiful and use your loveliness.
I'm Alexander Price, and there's different sorts of sexy, but model sexy is sexiest.
And I'm international and domestic star Hannah Jane Ginsburg, and I'm friggin' hot. I'm hot. I don't know about y'all.
Very good. Everyone's very good. Do you like this like NPR style? That's what I'm pivoting to.
Very
hard
that.
Pivot. Hard pivot. All right. Because this is the girls who crawl. What are they crawling towards? Victory?
After last week's episode, this title was a choice.
Well, we're also skipping over, as Hannah and JW normally do, the recap episode, which tricked Hannah into... Almost watched it.
Oh, it almost got me. It almost got me, but it didn't.
The title of the recap was The Girl Who Runs Into the Glass Door. And spoiler alert, that's Bianca, and it's terrifying.
And how dare that be the best episode title of the season?
So I'll quickly run through it. I did the emotional labor of watching the recap. I'm going to say it.
Right before you do that, though, I am going to say that we get some financial labor from some of our supporters. Woo. Through anchor.fm/podlinum. Once again, that's anchor.fm/podlinum. Giving a shout out to this week's featured supporter, Lauren. Thank you, Lauren. Is it cycle 10, Lauren? I hope so. Just pouring 40s in people's mouths and pouring money into our hearts and our wallets. And if you want to support us, you can support us for as little as 99 cents a month through anchor.fm/podlinum. Now let's get into that recappy recap.
So suffice it to say, this recap tries to gaslight us into thinking Ebony was terrible. It doesn't work.
Well, good.
Fun things, though. We learn how Spontaneous got her name. It was that her birth was so easy, her mother said, "Well, this child is spontaneous," and gave her that name.
I like it.
Yeah. Why didn't we get that in her audition?
We got nothing about Spontaneous.
That's such a cute little story.
Right?
You know, if my mom had named me based on the same thing, I would have been called 32 Hours.
Like six from Blossom?
Fun fact, I was both, if I remember this correctly, and my mom's probably going to be like, this is a lie, but if I remember this correctly, I was both upside down and came out feet first.
Upside down
also
and breech?
Feet first, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're still here.
Yep. Making it difficult.
I would say, I was about to say, I don't think it's weird that I'm still here. I think it's funny that my mom still talks to me.
So, fun things. We got a fashion... So, before the girls got on the cruise, we got a fashion checkpoint with Miss J, where he had the famous fashion trash can.
Fast Trasher's back.
Yes.
Why will we never see the fash can?
Have a recurring plot line, but only in the recap episodes?
Also, when they asked the girls at auditions, like, why do you deserve to be America's Next Top Model, right? They're like, weird. They were all sitting around there. Victoria, she's all vatted herself and like pulled down her hair and like shook it out. It was great.
Good for her.
Yeah.
And then did a choreographed dance while Usher yelled at the moves.
She just walked downstairs away from the room.
Also, in the same part, Bianca, when she responded, y'all, I don't know why they cut this out because this was great. Bianca says, I feel I'm America's Next Top Model because I know I'm going to stay true to myself and where I'm from. And though where I'm from is horrible, it doesn't determine who I am. Tyra says, Queens is horrible. And she goes, it ain't horrible, but it ain't the suburbs. Bianca.
Okay.
Okay.
So we get to the titular girl who runs into the door. Bianca is running around the house very, very fast. There is a glass sliding door that you hear an audible thunk. And all the girls in the house, including outside and on the first floor, hear she has run full face into the door. And it's like a full shroud of Turin because you can see her eyelashes in the imprint on the door. And she has to like hold ice to her mouth because it's so like.
I'm shocked she didn't like break her nose or something.
Right? Jenna chipped. So she's dealing with smoking, right? And she's playing around and throwing balls of grass at the girls. But one day she gets in the pool and lightly, as she's coming back up, she chips her front tooth on the side of the pool.
Yikes.
So she gets to take a visit to Dr. Edgardo Falcon Jr.
Yay!
Wait, Jr.?
Yeah, he's always been Dr. Edgardo Falcon Jr.
Oh, I forgot that part. He's my, you know, he's my favorite recurring guest on the show, truly.
Our compassionate dentist.
Yeah, right.
In the Bianca Salicia fight, Chantal throws herself in the middle and does some appropriated speech that was not the look, and Bianca calls her out for it.
Oh,
and says something to the effect of like, that hood look is not for you. It's not cute. Don't try it with like, no.
Interesting.
Fun Bianca story.
So this recap was Bianca is what you're telling us.
Bianca clogs, while Janet's still there, Bianca clogs the toilet so bad that Janet has to teach her how to use a plunger.
Oh my God.
Through the door.
Mama Janet.
That's why she left those paper towels there.
She's like, these do not belong in the bathroom. Don't try to flush these.
Oh my God, that's so embarrassing. So in the same recap episode, she both runs into a door full steam ahead and also clogs the toilet so bad that she has to have help unblocking it.
Yeah. We also get
Bianca. This is how an all-star's made. That's how an all-star's
made. We also get Bianca. They're doing like this weird bonding game with tissue paper where they like rip it up and they have to say something when they put the tissue. I don't know how this game works.
And then the tissue paper comes to life as a golem. Yeah.
But Bianca basically has a great moment where she's like, I came in here thinking I was going to hate you all. I really like everyone here. It like is a great, nice moment for Bianca that we're not seeing. I don't know. It's strange. Jenna may have a crush on Sarah, just like Hannah, which would be fun news. And then the last thing I'm going to talk about is we get this weird, you know how we haven't had a Tyra one-on-one?
Mm-hmm.
So Tyra comes in, immediately reads Janet, who's just left, about the panties thing, where she's like, I sit down. She's like, oh, are my panties showing? Are they showing? Are they? Oh, yes. Then she says in ADR, there's ADR in the recap, guys. We're going to talk about body image and weight, where we meet Dr. Lori Paulus, and also Danny comes in.
Cycle 6 Danny?
Yes.
Why?
Yes. So that she can tell this story. And I want to get your temperature on this story. So I'm going to break. Danny was told when she won and moved to New York to immediately lose weight. She then called Tyra, who was very angry at that. And then they planned together how she could eat healthy and exercise. And then she lost the weight. And they're presenting it as like, see, you shouldn't let the pressures of the industry get to you. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure the pressures work.
But she still lost the weight.
Yeah.
That's fascinating, especially since it's such a parallel to the feedback that Tyra got in the famous, me and my mom are going to sit down and we're going to have pizza, which is both in her book that I've read that she co-wrote with her mother and she's told on the show probably multiple times. Mm-hmm. I thought that's how that was going to end.
No, that's the weirdest part about it. It's like the wrong thing at all.
Well, and that's the thing is like, you know, if she wanted to lose weight and she ate healthy and didn't starve herself or anything like that, didn't do anything like too drastic and did exercise, like it's okay to like tone up and lose weight. It's just weird to present that story.
Exactly. Yes. Also, lastly, because I thought it was funny, and this is my favorite note I've ever wrote, Heather equals JW. Why? Because she said, when Tyson came over, she said, I don't know why, but I have a sudden fascination with men's arms. Woo, it was so big. Fine specimen he is.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, big arms.
I love a big arm. I do. That's true. Heather, I get you.
And then when she was talking about the girls staying, who's still in the competition, like who's going to whatever, she gets into a consonance alliteration loop that she has trouble getting out of, where each girl gets a double, like, statuesque stunner, spunky sweetie, fascinating features, bubbly blonde, like that. And I'm like, yeah.
So funny. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for watching the recap.
I might find the clip of the door.
Yeah.
Really. Honestly. Oh, man. Okay, so we're getting into the episode proper. And Bianca, again.
I have one note from the previous Leons.
Sure.
Which is that when speaking of Tyson Beckford, Tyra goes, Tyson Beckford, in a way that I did not enjoy.
Even in the previously on, it's so funny. So they're in their, you know, sweet ass limo bus driving away. And I actually love this from Bianca. I agree with the choice that Ebony made. Mm-hmm. But I love that Bianca's like, hey, you might miss your friends and family, but your friends are still going to be there. And there's only a couple of weeks left. They're not, you'll see them, which is normally how I feel about stuff. And it's why I almost never get homesick. I'm like, but I will see them.
Sure, I agree. I'm the same way.
It is also very interesting to me that Bianca has a better handle on what just happened than the show does.
Mm-hmm.
Because she says, I think Ebony wanted to be here in the beginning, and then she started missing family members.
Yeah,
which the show tried to convince us was not true.
That's the true journey. It's almost as if Bianca talked to Ebony. Can
so
I
weird.
Say, and I forgot to mention in a previous episode, this is a nickname house.
Yeah.
They call Ambrielle Am. And that's such a shortened of her name that sometimes it doesn't sound like anything.
No, it doesn't.
Because they'll say Sal too for Salisha. And They also said Vic a lot of times for Victoria. These girls have no time for names.
Who is the nicknamer? Who do we think is the nicknamer?
Oh.
Because there's always one.
Yeah, that's a... Ooh.
I almost think it's like a Chantal.
I was going to guess
it's Bianca asserting her power.
Ooh.
I'm going to change her name.
And Bianca's like, what are you going to call me?
Anka. You already have an Anda. Heather, you're just going to be Hev.
You're going to be her.
So this is a sepia tone festival.
Yeah.
We are getting Ebony sepia tones. We're getting Ambrielle sepia tones. And then a mental sepia tone of Sarah's plot line recently. And y'all, Chantal sipping the tea of victimhood while she is listening to Sarah. And Chantal's like, I'm sensing weakness, but I can't let them know because I'm friendly.
It is so sad to watch Sarah get broken down by the show.
Yeah.
And to say that she just kind of feels like she's wrong.
Like her body. Like that there is no right to her body. That's a rough sentence. Chantal really reveals her personality as a person. Because Chantal talks about how bad Sarah is feeling. And Chantal then says she's not even pretending she feels good.
Wow.
What? A revealing sentence about the speaker.
And it's so consistent with what we've seen from Chantal. I'm just like, there's something about Chantal as a person that's very pragmatic. That's very much like, I'm in a competition where I have to win. I know that they like positive people, so I'm going to show them that I'm positive. And that's just what it is.
She is very compartmentalized.
Yes. Yeah.
She took those extra boxes from Jenna's shoot last week, and she is just storing emotions and feelings in different boxes.
I feel like I don't have any doubts of myself. Where others are lacking, I've got it all. Woohoo!
This close to Glenn Close. This close to Glenn Close. I really didn't like what happens in the tiny jacuzzi.
Oh, my God.
Because they are talking about Heather in the third person, while Heather is sitting
with
there.
Them.
So this, I went on a whole journey with this.
Yes,
where
please take
when
us.
They open up on the pool, Heather isn't there.
Right.
And I'm looking at my phone, writing a note, and I hear Bianca talking shit about Heather, and I'm like, wow, this is extreme. And then I look up, and Heather is sitting right there. And I was like, wait a second. She is saying this about Heather to Heather? Like, this is crazy.
And the only person seemingly standing up for her is Jenna. Basically saying, like, you haven't seen her film. You haven't. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, Jenna very much does stand up for her. But then Chantal immediately says that Bianca's just being argumentative. Like,
sure.
Everyone is standing up
talking about Heather as though Heather is not there.
Which, yeah, is that good? Absolutely not. But they're all disagreeing with Bianca's assertion. Because Bianca's thing is that Heather, quote, doesn't have to do anything.
They give her this eye makeup and then she just sits there.
And again, we've not seen evidence of that. She's done the challenges. She's been on a rock climbing wall. She's written and starred in a PSA. Like, she's doing things that she's succeeding at.
And Heather is, like, the other weirdest thing is Heather's engaging in this conversation, right? She's, like, standing up for herself. And then Bianca continues to not call her you. Like,
yeah,
it's really dismissive in a real uncomfortable way that I don't appreciate.
And Heather has an understanding of what modeling is. She says, it's, I like art, I like making art, and this is art with your body.
Well, she says, I actually do think about what the picture is going to look like before it happens.
Which is why she thinks she's been successful, because she has that artistic mindset, which makes a lot of sense. Then Bianca, because Jenna, Chantal, etc. are defending, says that she thinks everyone in the house babies Heather. And I'm like, you're the only one we've seen infantilize her, except a little Celicia.
Celicia,
too.
Yeah.
To be fair, Celicia too. But like.
And then says yet another revealing sentence, which is that, like, she and Heather could be cool. We could be cool, but Heather's kicking half y'all asses. And I'm like, oh, so you're just doing this
to get in her head.
It's just all psychological.
So, Hannah, thank you for the gift of the perfect segue to something that I ended up deep diving researching about that I want to share.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Oh, wonderful. All right. So we've talked a little bit here and there about the cover girl of the week that the audience of the show voted on. I really want to do a deep dive, like a
new song.
Like a jacuzzi level dive.
You know what I mean? This tiny, thin jacuzzi.
Splish, splash, taking a bath. That's what I want. You know,
as long as we follow proper pool safety standards, I will allow.
You know, I always will. You know, as the non-swimmer of the group, I have to or I perish. So they did Cover Girl of the Week, cycles 3 through 10. So we're almost at the conclusion of it.
Yeah.
Which surprised me because Cover Girl kept being a prize on the show far beyond that. But whatever. Heather, Bianca had good reason to think that Heather was going to win this cycle, because Heather is the second most dominant winner of this award ever.
Wow.
Heather won for her time on the show. She won every single week except the first week. Any guesses, just out of curiosity?
Lisa?
Yep. Lisa was the first week.
Nice.
People really liked her from the audition episode, which was cool. Heather even ends up, spoiler alert, like winning it the episode she gets eliminated, which has only happened a couple of times.
Yeah. So, Takara, I think, famously also did the same thing.
And Katazinha, as we'll see. But that cycle, everyone won. So that was just coincidental. Do you want to guess? Because I said second most dominant, meaning that there was one person who won in their cycle every week. Who do you think that was?
In a cycle we've already looked at?
10.
It is. It's not 10.
Okay. Okay.
And again, cycles 3 through 9.
Anne.
How dare you? Give me a real guess. Could you imagine that that's why they kept her on so long?
It's not like Danny, is it?
No, though Danny did quite well. Joni won a lot and some
Carrie
other people
D.
won too. Carrie D is the third most dominant.
Okay.
She did very well. Naima.
What?
Won every single week.
Jazz man.
Couldn't tell you, but I got to say, I almost feel like the show knew better than we did.
I
like,
guess.
The show was like, people are going to love Naima.
Wow. And
she's a tippity-top model.
Stealing my spot.
So I'm anyway, learning.
This was all to say that, like, Bianca has such a good, for all of her Big Brother Survivor Amazing Race strategy, Bianca's not wrong. Heather's doing well, and America's going to love her.
Is there a future in which we get a Big Brother cast made up entirely of America's Next Top Model contestants?
No, Hannah.
Oh, no, Hannah. I will talk about this for such a long time. Oh, no. Who even cares? Music video. Bye. Secondary Tyra Mail eventually.
Hate this Tyra Mail.
Oh, my gosh.
I hate this Tyra Mail.
This is why I'm hot, and this is why you're not.
Yet. And Bianca says it's cute. I'm like,
Celicia says that's cute.
Oh, that's
And then
funny.
Chantal goes, I'm pretty hot. I don't know.
No, thanks, she Chantal. Says, I'm friggin' hot. I'm hot. I don't know about y'all.
Who is she, Brittany?
I love it.
I'm friggin' hot.
But then y'all, secondary Tyra Mail.
So they arrive at a dance studio.
Secondary Tyra Mail.
Where there's a bunch of beige dance leotards and jazz shoes. And this scavenger hunt of a Tyra Mail.
Put these on.
Love is almost Tyra. Like
get dressed.
It's almost like Did anyone else see the Suspiria remake? It is very that.
It's not that. For sure. I love it.
In full like Gossip Girl mode.
Instantly.
I love that Sarah said exactly what I was writing at the exact moment, which is, oh, these are unflattering.
These are not flattering. I wrote the same note. I love that they kept it in.
So Tyra enters to some cowboy bebop ass music, wanting to be Debbie Allen, but barely achieving P.T. Barnum, because this stick that she has is too short to do what she wants to do with it.
Which is a shame, because this is such a famous speech, and I love this speech.
Oh, it's so good. And I love Debbie Allen.
I do, too.
I love her. I am a longtime Grey's Anatomy watcher, still watching Grey's. Also a longtime So You Think You Can Dance watcher, and yes, she is probably the best guest judge. Yes. So You Think You Can Dance of all time.
Which is great, because now you get to have both her and Tyra on So You Think You Can Dance.
No, it's Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, darn it. That's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wanted that to happen for you, Hannah.
It's okay.
I'm so sorry.
But I love Debbie Allen.
Did you ever watch the Fame TV series?
Just bits. I paused this episode while I was watching it. I watched the real thing. I needed like a cleansing moment of watching the actual Debbie Allen speech. And now I'm like, should I be using quarantine to just watch Fame, all of the Fame TV show?
I mean, maybe.
That show is absolutely not what you think it is. It is wild. And their favorite. Did y'all know that the TV series is a musical with all original songs?
What?
Wow.
And that Janet Jackson stars in one of the seasons as a main character?
What?
Well, yes, new podcast idea. This.
I.
It's called Shame.
Absolutely. Oh. Oh, that's funny. I will say this, though. She shows this skill off often. I'll never stop being impressed with the flexibility that Tyra has in her legs. Because that leg up, holding it up next to her head, I'm just like, wow, you really still have that, Tyra. You have control of your body in a way that I can only aspire to.
Heather does her
fake sad one, which is very funny.
She has control over her legs. She doesn't understand her arms or how charades works, because she does like a old-timey movie camera, no, but it's, backwards.
But if you cranked it from both sides. It's you know, on a train track where it's those things that, yes, like the seesaw that just goes up and down.
I'm going to teach you guys about being sexy and moving for a TV camera or a music video.
And it's just like a hip hop gesture.
We also get mentions of a George Michael video and a Lionel Richie video. That
George Michael's too funky.
And shockingly, no mention of Shake Your Body.
Or Tina Turner's Love Thing, or Michael Jackson's Black or White that she was also
in. I also feel like, I don't know if there's a music video for it, but she was in Kobe Bryant's debut and only rap single, K-O-B-E.
Oh.
She's featured on the soundtrack. I don't know if there's a music video for it that she was in.
She also guest hosted Soul Train.
That's actually really cool.
Right?
I kind of want to watch that. Man, she's really had it. Guys, we don't talk about it enough because we're always just, you know, mocking her in this show, but she's had one hell of a career.
Really. The weirdest thing is the two music videos to show, the clips are just her being a model. Like, yeah, it's literally just her walking and then walking in slow motion.
Yes.
Absolutely. I love, this is why I watch with captions, because I would miss stuff like this. After all of this explanation, Bianca says, where did that come from? And I have no idea what she's referencing, but it sounds like she's saying it in response to Tyra's braggadocious speech. Like,
I mean,
where did that come from, right? Just like shoulder bumps, Chantal.
Before we get into this teach, there is a piano in the background of this scene that has a boombox on the seat, on the bench. We didn't want to move this piano that no one's ever going to play in this. We didn't want to just strike that.
Alexander, you know full well, when you rent a rehearsal space, if there's a piano in there, that is where that piano lives. It is impossible to get away from it.
You can't take that breakup.
I've done huge, whole improv scenes on top of a piano that would not leave a rehearsal space. Can we talk? Can we talk about This is one of the better Tyra teaches. I like Tyra when she teaches because when she's like personal and intimate and casual, she's actually a little funny. And she actually tells them practical advice and shows them so many examples. And oh my goodness, when they're all walking, you can tell Tyra's the better walker. And I just love moments where you actually see that Tyra's good.
That's true. This teach is broken into four sections.
Right.
The first is the sexy runway walk. And there are a lot of things that make a runway walk sexy, but my personal favorite is a little bit more eye penetration.
Oh boy. Deeper eye penetration.
As well as some shoulders.
More shoulders. Angrier.
But she does. Nobody does it like Tyra. Nobody does the sexy runway walk like Tyra. No, you have to give it to her. No,
she basically invented that Victoria's Secret's runway look, I would say. Like, it's iconically how she walks.
I was about to say, if she didn't invent it, she sure did become the face of it.
Yeah. That, like, strong, confident, real wind in the hair kind of walk.
Lots of hip. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's an athleticism to her walk.
Next, we get my least favorite part of this lesson, which is how sometimes the camera represents a boyfriend or a husband. And this is how Tyra describes communicating with a boyfriend or a husband.
Please.
You want to flirt in that camera and stop and hide and go away.
You just want to run from that boyfriend or husband. Another room.
You want to give mixed signals.
Ooh, communication.
That's how you teach boyfriend.
What a waste of time.
Flirting
communication
is just saying, get away from me.
Wow. Hannah, I appreciate that you did that so well, and also added articles that were not in Tyra's original speech, because she says it in the strangest way of sometimes camera in a music video or commercial represents boyfriend or a husband.
It's a real economy of speech situation.
And also, she's so out of breath. She's winded.
I also love the lack of your boyfriend or your husband, just boyfriend or a husband.
Just any husband.
My husband.
To be fair, we never know her boyfriend's names.
Alexander, can you please give me one Anna, my husband?
Please be.
Still my favorite thing you've ever done.
Back.
The boyfriend.
Remember the simple time of that plus size contestant? So, hold up. The camera gets so weirdly close to Tyra when she's talking about sweet and coy, to the point that it feels like a different kind of reality show, one where it's like Laguna Beach, where you're constantly getting weird, like, stolen camera, shaky cam footage. Why was it so close to her? Are we at part three of the teach? Is this the wall slide?
After her telling Chantal that she thinks that her man would think that Chantal is conceited.
Yes.
Because she's just thinking about herself.
Oh my God.
Posing.
So we get to the wall slide, which will only come up again for one of them.
When the model slides down the wall? Is that what you mean?
Yes. Yes. Classic thing. So she says one of my favorite nonsense critiques of someone, because when Heather does it, she says it looks like Heather's getting arrested. Don't know what she means by that.
He also says to Heather, when you pushed up, you looked to the heavens.
He also shades Lisa and says that she's out of shape.
Yeah. To be fair, Lisa does get fully stuck. And look, here's the thing. This is not my opinion, but this is definitely what Tyra wanted to say. It's like, oh, Lisa, I'm really surprised your stripper ass couldn't get back up from that wall.
Yes, that is exactly
it. She couldn't say that.
We also, Sarah gets zero credit for how well she's doing in every single one of these.
Well, they can't show her just destroying everything because of the end result of the episode.
But they do. They show her wall slide.
You're right.
And she looks so good.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, they just can't comment on it at all.
It's like they can't edit it out. It's like Tatiana's side comments. They can't edit out Sarah succeeding. Then we get to the titular crawling. A thing that will literally not come up.
Nope.
In the rest of the episode, because you would think, you don't know it yet, but you would think, we're talking about music videos. There's probably going to be a music video challenge. Spoiler, there is a music video challenge. You would think that all of these things would come up in the music video, which would be fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. Nope.
Because there is zero communication between what Tyra teaches them and who even is doing the music video. Because my theory is like they didn't have someone until literally the last minute. And then they booked this way this is structured.
The person that they eventually get is actually much too famous, especially at this point in time, to include top model teaches in his music video.
Yes, that's a fair critique of this situation we'll get to. So they crawl, in which Heather gets the critique from Tyra that she has a Tim Burton-esque sexuality.
You know what? Heather's not bad at this crawling.
No, she's actually quite good at the crawling. Or Bianca. As Tyra refers to it, cleaning the floor with your knees.
Buh. Thank God she gave them knee pads. I'll say that much. Bianca is incredibly stiff, and it looks like me the first time I tried to do a bear crawl for a fitness studio class or something. It is like the least fluid thing, and fluidity for Bianca, we're going to find out, is kind of an issue with her modeling and stuff.
Also, did anyone else notice that where Tyra's sitting for this crawl teach, she's just looking at butts. Like, there's no monitor for face, so she's just staring right at their ass.
It's so odd, because we as the viewers get the angle you want for this that would theoretically be shot.
Right.
And we get a side glance of it that's not necessary for anybody, only to show that some people round their backs in a way that is not fun.
Yeah.
Although, weirdly, not Heather for all the hump talk we had earlier.
So back at the house, we have a really bad look for these women. Because they do the typical thing of looking around, pointing out their flaws, and saying how fat they are. And then Sarah, who is like just hanging around, Bianca says, I weigh the most in this house. And Sarah is...
Really, Bianca? Really? As Sarah says.
You want to play that game?
And then Bianca fucking doubled down on
it. Yes.
Because even if Bianca was just kind of like saying that casually, or she technically meant everyone but Sarah, whatever. Like... I'll always give people the benefit of the doubt. They're just babbling and talking all the time. But then she double downs. So I'd be like, Sarah, how much do you weigh? I'll be like, Bianca,
no.
You know that Sarah weighs more than you. That's her whole deal on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't do that. Also, unrelated, sort of, to look at themselves in the mirror, Bianca, Lisa, and an unidentified third person, I think, Celicia, all stand up on the side of the bathtub, which seems dangerous considering that we know we've lost teeth. We've run into doors.
Sarah also says, the size thing, it's awkward and it's weird, and I don't really know how to deal with it. So I'm just like, hi, here I am. Do with me whatever you want. And it reminded me of how she came into casting, and we've talked about this before, just being like, I am the size that I am, and I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
And it's really sad to see like the downtrodden version of that.
Yeah. It feels like the show has actively tried to like beat that out of her, of just like, that's not okay. That's not how modeling works.
Yeah, you can't just accept yourself real size. Like that.
I agree that we're seeing the episode by episode thing of that. And it'd be less frustrating if Sarah wasn't modeling so well.
Yep. Yes.
But she's easily in the top half of the girls that remain.
Mm. Yeah. Thank God we have this iconic Tyra male to lighten the mood.
Y'all, I did a one-person show where I included this clip. You kind of hear it before you see it. But Heather is mere feet from the tire mill, by herself, staring at it. Tim Burton-esque, if you will. And then just goes, guys, tire mill. And then you hear some, tire mill.
They linger on her for so long. It's like she's in a standoff with the tire mill.
I have a conspiracy theory about this moment. I think the producers basically said, hey, Heather, we don't have enough of you calling for tire mail. And she's like, okay.
Okay, sure.
Cool. And then they like, she was waiting for the cue.
Yeah.
And she's just like,
they're like, do you want to leave the room and come back? And she's like, no, I guess so.
But they also, because they also like prepped all the women downstairs to like do this. It's really shady. But then to leave it in is like the shadiest thing.
I think it is. It's this shady moment of trying to like, make her look weirder.
Yep. Yes.
Make her look like this is a thing that autism is doing. And yes. That's just not what's happening.
No, she was set up to do this.
That being said, the way she says guys is Heather's
fault. It's almost like she's found a dead body.
Guys. Why not start with Tyra Mail? Why just scream, guys? I also love that no one responds.
It also, like, it's slightly, I'm sure it's production, but it also feels slightly like the rest of the house is trying to prank Heather.
Mm-hmm. It's almost as if they all should have been like right behind the table, and when she says Tyra Mail, they all popped up. Like, we were here all along.
She thought they were all going upstairs together, and then she turned around and no one was there, and yes. Then she turned back around and the Tyra Mail was there.
She was just like, guys.
You know, I wish we had cute Tyra Mail things where they're like they pop up from behind a counter. Like that would be
I would love it. Let me have that television. Let me
or
have
like,
it.
Like a shoot that they like, it comes in all of a sudden.
Yes. Yes.
Like or, when you're at the bank, at the, yes. at the like, a at the drive-in teller.
Mm-hmm. Pneumatic tube.
Oh yes. My God. Imagine if it was long enough that it kind of like Futurama'd its way all around the house.
Could see
oh my
it.
God.
That's a great idea.
Guys, Cycle 25.
Need it.
Get us on that production staff.
But we get a gross Tyra Mail. Musicians love models. Do you have what it takes to share the spotlight? Yuck.
That's just like purposely gross too. It's not even like accidentally gross.
No.
It's so weird. So they obviously know they're going to be in a music video.
And then Bianca lets us know that they go to some theater in Hollywood.
Love it.
You know what? To be fair, that's exactly what the vibe of this whole fucking part of this thing is.
Why on God's green earth did they make all of them go stand on a stage with Jesse, the director, and then we'll get the full names in a second. I didn't write them down because it does not matter. And like two other people just to tell them what they're going to do and then dismiss them. The theater has nothing to do with anything.
And they try to make it seem like they immediately go to hair and makeup when they obviously go to a second location that is nowhere near where they are.
Yeah.
So Jesse Torero is the music video director. Mm-hmm. He introduces Lisa Ariana, which cannot be a real name, who's his assistant. And then Billy Parks, the producer. And Billy and Jesse have the gay barrier seat between them because God forbid two men sit next to each other.
That's not the way God intended men to see it, Alexander.
What also is strange is they have a camera.
I haven't heard the phrase. I know you're still talking, Alexander, but I haven't heard the phrase gay barrier in such a long time. And that's such a funny relic of the past.
Yeah, thankfully.
Yeah.
But they have a setup of a camera and a screen so they can theoretically cast them. Or they've done casting here?
Talk about how two of the girls, and this is after maybe half of them have been through hair and makeup because God knows they slapped something on Bianca's head.
or like Chantal, literally she is halfway through hair and makeup because she's in curlers.
And they're like, one of you is going to get a featured spot in this video that we're going to be casting.
Okay.
And the lack of clarity on how this was cast.
Okay. This is crazy. And this... They have to parse their words so carefully to say of who we're picking is both Enrique Iglesias' idea and also production and also the record label, which is very telling of who they pick and the final video that occurs from this video, because they definitely did not want a quote-unquote urban vibe for this music video. And it is very clear that they didn't want to say that to the women, and so they have to keep going around like, oh, well, someone's picking who. We'll get back to you. They come back. Enrique Iglesias comes and looks at the merchandise.
Oh, my God. It's just so
This
awkward.
Enrique picking a wife moment is so bizarre. And look, I'm gonna give him the credit. I don't think he's comfortable with this too. I think he wanted to reveal.
Like, why am I don't make these decisions. Why am I here?
He even tries to joke, whatever happens, it's Jesse's fault. Ha ha ha. I don't want this.
Well, Jesse brags about the two music videos he directed. They ain't that good music videos, I'm gonna say. But it drags this out so long. We keep seeing the same thing of him coming in and be like, we don't know who we're picking. We'll let you know.
Especially because the answer comes down to one of you was really tall.
Yep.
And one of you looked like a vampire, kind of.
Well.
Which is true.
Which is, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so part of me, how this is executed is, as we've described, just a nightmare. There's part of me that does like the real worldness of this is how a realistic casting would happen. If all of you came in, we'd probably just pick Lisa because we wanted the tallest, and we'd probably pick Heather because she has the look that we're going for in the creative brief of vampire.
But just say it.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. I just wish.
I agree with you. It just shouldn't have been so drawn out. The show should not have been trying to convince us.
Yeah,
that there was anything that the
girls were doing,
could have done, or were doing in order to get picked, other than
or that Enrique was picking, which I just don't think was even part of the factor.
No. Also, I don't like that they picked it after the styling was done, because that's not how that would be done. You would want a specific styling for a specific part. It's like, this is the weirdest way to cast and choose.
Did y'all know that vampires have chunky highlights?
They have bad wigs. When Lisa is picked and wins, because it's also framed that she wins,
yep.
Bianca sucks her teeth so hard, she's basically swallowing them.
I mean, this is the problem inherent with a casting like this in this show, which is that sometimes it's just how you look. A lot of the time when you go on a modeling job, it's do you have the right look?
Enrique Iglesias says it's also about their personality.
Yeah, the show can't let that exist.
No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because it, and again, I just kind of wish it was the real worldness of...
We just picked...
Yeah, we wanted someone super tall.
I just don't know why we spend so much time... That's the craziest thing to me.
Well, I think from the editing of the episode perspective, it's for me, and we were chatting about this before we started recording this episode, like, the music video, like, production to me itself, like, is kind of uneventful. Like, most of them just kind of do fine and that's it. Like, yes. Obviously we're going to talk about the individual setups and mostly what they're dressed in. But, like, they kind of just all do a generally okay job. So there's not a lot of, like, shenanigans happening, which is, I think, why they added in this. And they were just, like, so happy that Heather passed out.
I think there's only one person who truly does a bad job, and it's because they don't do what they were told to do.
Yep, we'll get there. So, we'll get there. But I smell what you're stepping in.
There are so many extras in this fucking video.
I mean, it's a dance club, to be fair.
Sure, it's a vampire dance club.
You know what? I'm so sorry. You're right.
All dance clubs are vampire dance clubs.
Not all dance clubs, Hannah. I think that Chantal, from what we see, kind of kills it.
Oh, I fully disagree.
I think in the later footage, it doesn't translate. But to the top model camera, I thought she looked I don't know.
He told her that you're going to stand here and dance.
Which she didn't
And
do.
Every once in a while, give us a look at Enrique. She does not move.
That's true.
She doesn't do the brief at all. And also later, it also seemed like he instructed her to track someone as if they're moving across the room, and she also doesn't do that. She literally just models
there. Yeah,
I do think when I first saw Chantal, she's extremely striking the way she is styled.
Yes,
and also that platinum blonde hair and her overall look and her face really works for this. I was disappointed with the actual performance.
Mm-hmm.
Sure,
she also has a look that they like to use. Specifically in Enrique Iglesias music videos.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember, he did that video with Anna Kournikova.
Yes.
Sure.
And Chantal definitely has that vibe. But I was really annoyed that I was like, you were told to you had a whole training about dancing.
Sure, I agree.
And the director specifically told you to dance.
I think I was bewildered and bedazzled by her look as mm-hmm. actual clothing, that not everyone got clothing and she got a dress.
Yeah, right.
Fair and true.
You know what's interesting about Chantal is that this will be the second episode in a row where, like, we have some really mixed feelings about Chantal as a contestant and as a performance. Wow. Guys, Chantal starts the conversation.
Chantal's provocative.
Wow. You know what she is? A controversial, debatable beauty. Slam dunk.
Talk about featuring someone in this video. Hi, Ambrielle's nipples, because wowzers.
So prominent.
But it's also this poor woman. Styling. It's just another episode where Jesse tells her when her shooting is done how great she did.
Yes.
And it also looked like she did well. She also had to actually do something, whereas later, Celicia, Sarah, and Bianca get to sit down.
There.
Ambrielle had to do the actual teach of the wall slide while also dancing and making eye contact.
Is the only one who had to do anything. Though Celicia would have us believe differently.
Fuck Celicia.
Well, now let me say this. Did I also write the note, oh my God, don't lick your tongue like that? And they brought that up. Yeah, I was like, Ambrielle, you're not suckling on ice cream. We find out later, though, that all of them only got 3 takes.
Yeah.
Wild.
Lisa, I thought, was pretty bad at her thing. Also because she looked directly into the camera at
Thank
one point.
Thank you. That bothered me so much. She literally kicked, then like looked at him, looked at the camera to be like, and we're done? No.
And also, she doesn't kick her leg high enough. She's just like, dink. It's just like, it's not stopping. You're just like tripping him?
It was no rock climbing shoot.
No.
Oh, yeah, because we know how high that leg can go.
So when we get to the sitting area.
I can't wait. Hold up. I can't believe neither of you talked about Jenna's bump it.
I kind of loved it. I love an Amy Winehouse styling.
I don't think it looked bad, but I was just like, oh, they did a bump it. Like they literally gave her a bump it.
I don't like how they just threw Jenna into that scene and had nothing to do.
Also, like Jenna is going to get so much crap this episode for her performance, and I thought she was the very definition of fine.
Sure.
she was absolutely
she was there.
The least featured of any of these girls, and all she had to do was turn
fine with it.
So then we go into the sex rest area where Celicia continues her storyline of taking a very unique approach to what she has to do. So anytime Celicia has to sit next to someone, she has to sex up on them as though that'll will the commercialness of her away.
Because, and it works for her.
I was about to say, it's consistently worked out for Celicia. She's not learning any other lessons.
And then Sarah gets shoved into the most unflattering option for her. And for really anybody.
For anyone. Nobody is going to look good in this.
Especially not also seated.
Well, this is what bothers me so much. They clearly are like, well, we have nothing for fat Sarah, who is clearly not losing weight, right? So we're going to just put her in a dress that gives.
Here's a net.
Here's a full net that you're going to be in. And she's like, fun. This is fun for me.
And what's a shame is her hair and her makeup are actually some of the more successful.
And I think she still looks pretty banging in this horrible dress. But it makes her feel so shitty because that's clearly what they've done to her.
Yeah. And but I'm sorry. No matter what they did to Sarah, what they do to Bianca.
This? Two wigs.
This hair is the cheapest, worst thing I've ever seen. And I had flashbacks to what she said. I'm going to look like a streetwalker. And I'm like, Bianca, just you wait, girl. Just you wait.
She wraps her arm in that chain and kissy faces so hard.
Is that hair staying on her head, though?
It's not attached. It's not
very
attached.
Reminiscent of the 3 sunflower petals, honestly.
It almost looks like the hair was in like cardboard pieces, right? And they just stuck them.
It literally looks like the clip-ins that I had for my Barbie.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, sure. Of course they do. I also, the way she's holding this chain makes you really think that the chain is going to be important to the scene. Like she's going to pull it and I don't know, more vampires are going to fall from the ceiling. I don't know what it'd be. But I'm just like, it's just nothing. It's just a set piece that she gets to hold.
Celicia describes what they do in this video, and never have there been more words to describe less happening, where she says, it was all just about being sexy and flirty, but not being video sexy and hoochie. It was more classic model.
Classic model.
Which is not what this video is. She was not paying attention.
16 seconds of looking at the camera.
Touching up on Sarah's thigh again.
It is so funny. Two things. I think they're both. Jesse definitely says the second thing I'm going to about to say, but then I think Bianca might say the first. Two of my favorite things, because they're both just so nothings of sentences. I think Bianca describes the girl who comes in with Enrique as the vampire-esque girl. And I'm like, that's all of them. It's literally a vampire club. Uh-huh. Secondly, Jesse, feedback afterwards to all three of them. That was nice. A lot of that worked. Well, thanks.
I think we also skipped over Heather's initial.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about Heather's, like, turn and look.
Turn and look. Turn your face to me. No, turn your face to me again.
Yeah.
You did a good job.
Yeah. She got. I don't. What's so funny is, like, Lisa is clearly, quote unquote, more featured. It didn't feel like Heather was.
Featured just means you get to touch Enrique. That's what featured meant.
That is what featured means. That's gross.
That's interesting. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone else just got to look at Enrique. So then the drama of the episode happens. And the drama is not really that Heather faints. It's that there is clear OSHA and union violations occurring on this fucking set.
Said out loud. So they're at the end. They're doing dancing in this, what's described multiple times as hot, hot set. It's 8 p.m. at night. I assume no one, but including Heather, hasn't eaten since breakfast. They're jumping around in heels.
On concrete.
It is an unventilated warehouse space, is what it looks like.
Absolutely.
No fans anywhere.
And then Heather's feeling bad, and she has such a sweet talking head where she's like, I just didn't want to, like, bother any of the people around me. I'm like, she's not even thinking about herself. She doesn't want the shoot to F up. And then she all but collapses. Sarah goes over, and Sarah starts by playfully saying something, then immediately realizes how serious it is because she looks paler than pale.
Finally, Gil, the on-set medic, shows up.
Gil, such a hero. Not here for any of this bullshit.
Also, when they cut back to the other girls, they look like some of them were smirking at this, as though Heather, thank God this is happening to Heather, because this might get her out of the competition.
Well, we get a lot of people caring about Heather, and then we absolutely get Salisha and Bianca not caring about Heather to differing degrees. Heather's taken separately. She passes by Enrique, who the first time is just like, oh, what's happening? The second time you can tell Enrique's like, do we have insurance for this? I didn't want them here.
There's also so much untaped wiring running across these floors where people are walking and dancing.
Yeah.
When she's collapsing, it's hard to tell if she is collapsing because she's fully dehydrated or if, like, she's tripping over things.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Chantal is super worried.
Yeah, she really is.
Like, it was actually really sweet when she was like, don't do that. Like, have you eaten? She literally was scared for Heather.
And Gil is fully like, it's too hot in here several times.
Yep.
And then, like, gives her water and a banana and says,
you have a fan in front of her, too.
You have to eat tomorrow. It's like putting gas in a car.
Yeah.
Just please tell me you're eating.
And then.
Yeah, Gil, you can tell, is very worried for whatever reason. Maybe it's because, like, you know, it might be partly because they're models and it's competition. It's a stressful environment. But, like, or maybe she said something about the fact that she hadn't eaten since breakfast. But, like, that's a long... let's consider that breakfast was probably, like, at 8 or 9 a.m.
Yeah.
That's a full intermittent fasting moment.
And when we find
also
out...
also have been doing all this exercise.
When we find out what time they get home, it's even worse.
Yeah. So, Salisha says something so nonsensical that she basically thinks that Heather passed out because, unlike the rest of them, Heather doesn't party until 2 a.m., she's not used to this kind of lifestyle. I'm like, that is absolutely not what was happening. Don't make it about her social awkwardness.
Once again, it's infantilizing Heather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bianca has a new brand, the bearer of bad news.
Heather is not going to be able to live a model's life without people telling her what to do. What?
I don't even understand that critique.
I also, when Salisha, I wrote the note, Salisha sees attention happening and makes herself a part of it by grabbing a stethoscope and shoving it under Heather's top to see if she's still a supermodel under there, which Sarah then basically is like, get away, like, leave her alone. This is serious. And then Salisha has a full attitude about it of like, I'm just...
Also, the medic is trying to leave and he needs a stethoscope, so...
Yeah. Also, were they just, I love that they were just done after Heather passed out. They were like, we don't need them for any more shots. Mm-hmm. Like, we're done.
I also like to point out, as people who have been on set, I think Hannah's been on set too. The banana that Heather gets, that's the one banana that's always at Crafty. The singular banana.
There's always just like a banana.
Just one.
You didn't have 15 stale bagels to give her? There's usually a bunch of those.
Some like shitty candy that's like slightly off-brand.
At that point, it's just the tub of cream cheese, though.
Oh my God.
Can we eat some cream cheese?
Okay. Hold up. Can we talk about the tub of cream cheese where some asshole peels off the like foam layer but doesn't peel it off all the way, so then you just have that loose limp skin. I hate it. Peel it off all the way. There's usually a trash can right beside of you. I hate it.
Back in the house, Bianca tries to convince the other girls that she's sad that people go home.
Untrue.
At 3 a.m. They get back to the house at 3 in the morning. How long was this stupid music video?
Especially when you all only had 3 takes. Like, how long were you sitting in that makeup trailer?
Salisha just still has her highlights. And I know sometimes they come back with
makeup
and hair stuff done, but like, how did they do this to Salisha and not make it permanent? But it's her, definitely her like makeover hair.
Yeah.
I really want a deep dive into like how this was possible, because part of me was like, is this just Salisha's look now?
You and I want to deep dive into this diagonal night to day wipe we get on the pool.
I would also happily deep dive into Tyra's panel outfit, because I think it might actually be her best panel look.
It's good. I have a note about it.
Mm-hmm.
Tyra just wear all black more often?
She just looks great. And it's got an asymmetrical collar, but in the way that you want something to.
Right before panel, Chantal lets us know that she was gave the body and the face to do this.
By God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Ambrielle is desperate to remind you of her plot line now. I'm not supposed to be here.
But Ambrielle is not desperate to let us know what she's reading, because she has put a paper cover over her book.
Ooh.
Can we not get the marketing rights to the Bible? Because you know that's what Ambrielle's reading.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, I had a real fun moment with this, because Tyra does this silly thing that's like fun, silly, but dangerous to Lisa, where she asks them all to do kind of the wall slide down, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, oh, they look like an octopus. And then she said, well, wow, you all just kind of look like an octopus. And I was like, it was the only time that's ever happened to me where I've had a note and then Tyra's very normally said it too.
Guys, am I fully crazy? Is Nigel Barker never going to be sexy? Because if there was one week when Nigel would have been sexy, don't you think it would have been this week?
But would you really call him sexy in his I'm auditioning for Guys and Dolls suit that he's wearing?
No, it doesn't matter what he's wearing.
Guys, I'm worried about this.
In the course of the show?
I thought that was his title. I thought he always had that.
Maybe it's truly just always been noted fashion photographer. Is this like that Berenstein thing?
And the Mandela effect?
Yeah.
I think it might be.
Yeah. I noticed a bad fashion thing, and I want you both to be proud of me. So Tyra is begging in this black dress. She has a dark brown arm cuff, though.
Yeah.
And I've been told that black and brown don't match well.
Not like this. Not like this.
I like you saying that, like, not like this.
Not like this.
Not like this.
Twiggy says, hello, pretty ladies.
Who cares what Twiggy says? Because we get a fascinating look at something when Miss J says, power to the people, puts a fist in the air, mm-hmm. and here are the 5 people that do a fist back. Salisha, fine.
Yep.
Ambrielle, fine. Mm-hmm. Bianca, fine. Uh-huh. Lisa, fine.
Yep.
And Sarah. And I was like, ooh, strong choice, wrong choice. And I was really proud of the other white women for being like, nope.
Yeah. Yep.
Because I'm going to tell our listeners right now, if you're white, that's not for you.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Even if someone does it friendly to you, not for you.
Nod. Give an acknowledgement.
And I don't think Sarah did anything terrible. She was just going along with the bit, but it was just so funny that I was like, oh man, we were so close to just doing that perfectly.
So I don't believe that Tyra knows what video was filmed, because the way she talks to Jesse is like, can you explain like who it was or for what song or like where you filmed?
I know, but I want you to tell.
But it's vampires in an underground club.
Tyra also continues her inability to charade with her hands appropriately, because she says that they have to act and portray while rolling dice. And you're just sort of...
She was inspired by Nigel's suit.
I think Tyra's one of those people that, like, you know when you are called in a lie and you, like, try to vaguely explain something so that people, like, pick up on the most true thing of what you're saying? I think Tyra does that, but with her body. She's like, you know, you're just going around, like, you know, and just like constantly moving your hands, making some birds. Just like,
it could be anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Listeners, if we ever needed a video version of this podcast, it's this exact moment where the three of us were all just doing our own tyrant hand motions.
Yeah, that's what we'll put behind the paywall.
Yeah,
just not a whole video podcast, just that moment.
Yeah,
we have a justice and injustice for Lisa, the star girl out of all these girls, where they love what she did, which, okay, slightly surprised, but like, I truly think that everybody mostly did fine this week.
Oh yeah, this is a fine fest if we've ever had one.
But then Nigel says if you could really turn on that kind of performance in a photograph, like she's never had the best photo of the week.
Also, what is this?
Why they treat Lisa like this? Like, Lisa's the kind of contestant this show
should want.
Usually loves to triumph.
Why does this all have shitty video footage filter on it?
And I honestly thought that that's what the video was going to look like until they showed the clip at the end of the show.
Yeah, the weirdest thing is that they put this filter on it, and you're like, okay, well, that's what it is. It's like, that's the stylistic choice, whatever. But then it just doesn't.
To Ambriel, Tyra says, did you apply sliding down the wall to sliding down the pole?
Which, first of all, obviously. Second of all, I would love if Ambriel was like, oh!
Oh.
Duh. Sorry, I didn't.
Missed opportunity.
And then she goes, as a reminder, I'm not supposed to be here.
I am glad Jesse stuck up for her a little bit. He should have done it more.
Yes.
But it was hard to when everyone else was just like bad, terrible. And he was like,
She did exactly
what I gave her
the
feedback that she was quite good. So why would she have done anything else?
Tyra gets on this hoochie train some more.
Which it just wasn't. It just wasn't.
No.
But also, like, that's not what you were supposed to do in this video. Like,
right?
Honestly.
Yeah, the leather bikini vampire.
Celicia and Sarah get summoned together. I think, once again, I think Sarah looked great.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you, Nigel, for your opinion on her body and how she feels about it.
Well, first of all, they're like, you were pulling faces while you were watching yourself. Like, that's never happened before.
And also, the faces she was pulling were like, ooh.
Like, it's evidence of some deep-seated insecurity.
No, it's
instead
just because
of being
the video
like,
is stupid looking.
Oh, my God, I'm on camera, which we all have done.
Yes. Yeah.
Also, what the edit happened? When Nigel was talking and they flip camera and show him saying a sentence from private panel.
Yeah. Oh,
and you can tell because they changed the camera angles for private panel. It's so, look, this whole cycle, we have noticed more editing shenanigans than ever before, but this was blatant in a way that was shocking to me.
I just don't appreciate this whole thing that he's gotten on of telling her how she feels about her body. It's now gone beyond you're losing weight. It's like, you're losing weight. This is how you should rationalize it and internalize it. And it's just really gross.
It's just, they gang up on her.
Yeah.
He's like,
they finally make her cry. They finally do it so much that she's starting to really get upset about it, which is hard to watch.
Quite a bit of weight. And she's like, people, she says the only thing she knows to be true, which she says, you know, people have said that I haven't been doing it on purpose. And then Tyra just like whispers, we all think so.
We all think so.
It's awful.
As though she's lying. As though they're trying to catch her out in lie. And they want her to say like, well, it's a lot of pressure being in a house with people that are skinny. That's which is not at all what it is. And Sarah's not going to give it to them. And instead, she's just feeling bullied because she is being bullied.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's such a shame because she does fine in the video.
Yeah. I thought she looked good.
Yes.
She had a great look. And I'll say this, too. I think Salisha also looked fine. I will say that I think both Salisha and Sarah had literally the easiest thing to do.
Yes.
But they both did fine at it.
I also really didn't like the shady thing of we're going to keep the when the camera panned down to Sarah's stomach to like,
Yeah.
It felt like a camera reset, but then they it was very like gross.
Yeah, I agree.
They do some of that shenanigans to Jenna too, where they show her like smirking and laughing.
Oh,
I'm like, it was between takes.
So Jenna and Heather are next.
The one positive about this, love Heather's panel hair. Speaking
yes.
of Heather's blow-up.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they go all in on Jenna for smirking.
But it was also not bad, but it was also good.
When you're flirting.
Yes.
Common flirtation technique.
And then they go on this whole thing of like, well, now you look more sad and somber because you're getting critiques that you don't like, but there's also something beautiful about that. And I'm like,
they basically call her a vampire at panel.
Yeah. It's so weird how they treat Jenna. And I was like, she's not upset because she's getting bad critique. Well, she is. That's always part of it, obviously. Anyone should react to that. But she's also like getting confusing critique that she does not understand. And she was at first trying to be cute about it, like, oh, he walked down the stairs and, you know, he kind of smirked at me. So it made me smile.
But that's
and
not
like,
what a vampire does. You were a vampire.
Jenna looks like she's going to punch Tyra in the face.
Yeah. That ponytail is going to be weaponized very soon.
I also feel like when she gets stressed, her hair just like takes it on because you can practically see like the smaller hairs like coming out of the ponytail
yes.
as she's getting critiqued.
Jenna's flyaways tell their own time linear story every panel.
Chantal's next. And we kind of already talked about it.
Yeah.
But Tyra seems to think that when you're tracking someone, you also need to point at them as they move across the screen.
She should have.
That dancer next to Chantal was working.
Yes.
Oh my God. I was exhausted looking at that. But here's the thing. Again, on camera, she looks great. She just didn't do what she was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And Jesse rightly talks about that as well. But she looks good, which is
I think she looked really
kind
good.
Of a model's job.
It's basically what Tyra has done in the video clips that we saw for music videos. Bianca's up last, and y'all, she comes across so slutty in this video.
The kissing lips were bizarre to watch.
So Nigel says something, and you all know that Nigel is not my favorite, but the way he phrases this, you force the cameraman to pan away from your face after all the kissings you were doing.
The cameraman was scared of that face.
All those kissings.
You knew very well that that cameraman was scared of kissing.
Then Tyra says that kisses are good as long as they're fluid. And she says, it wasn't like, I love you, bite my finger, mwah, mwah.
Don't you wish she had done like the full on like back to camera, like fake making out.
The And then the example of fluidity is the Cabbage Patch, which is notoriously not. Notoriously, there's a distinct pop in a Cabbage Patch move.
What I also find fascinating about that Cabbage Patch is it was clearly a reference that Bianca remembered from their teach that was edited out. And I was like, that's shitty editing to have mentioned something clearly in a teach that you're going to reference later than get away with it. But yeah, the Cabbage Patch is like fluid while you're going around and then you're
and
like...
Pop.
Reset it. Reset it.
Yeah.
So funny.
Fluidity of half a Cabbage Patch.
Yes. There's no better way to describe it.
Private panel.
Huh.
Embryol hasn't once had any magic for Twiggy. Ugh. She's not even going to get the most fucked over this episode, and it's still getting fucked over.
Yeah, for real.
Tyra doesn't understand how the camera likes Lisa.
I think they just decided that it's Jenna's turn to get fucked with.
I guess.
Squeaky literally says maybe Jenna needs a little shock.
This is a great time to talk about this. Because we've mentioned it, but not really dove into it. This is also the cycle of teaching girls lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they don't want to eliminate a girl, but they want to teach her a lesson, to, quote, light a fire under them, they slap them in the bottom two, and then will immediately take credit the next episode of, like, wow, Salisha, I guess being in the bottom two really made the supermodel come alive, or whatever. And it's so irritating that now they're, like, teaching people lessons via bottom two placement.
And I don't think it's been this blatant where they've said it, and they've let us see them say it.
Yeah, it's always more been, like, a theory that we've discussed, but now they're just straight up telling us that they're doing that, which is not a great look.
We also continue talking about Sarah's weight, and that Nigel asked, do we ever have a plus size model in this competition?
Ms. Jay says that.
Oh.
Yeah, to be fair.
And then Nigel says, you can't just say you're a plus size model when you're not. And I'm like, she never did, though.
No, she's
that
always
was
said
you saying that about her.
Yeah, she sometimes refers to herself as that, but only because that is so much of what you have discussed with her. But she came into auditions very much like, I'm this size, it's a real size thing, not really plus, it's not really model. Not really model, you know what I mean? Like, not really like the traditional skinny size zero model.
There's also this thing that's happening, and it happened to Victoria before, and it feels uncomfortably racialized to me.
Ooh.
And they're like, why do you think Chantal did so bad this week? Do you think she was nervous? Yep, that's it. Chantal was nervous.
I hated that.
Chantal has never given us any indication.
Not once.
Of nerves.
Chantal not at all.
The confident one.
Yes.
She's excited to be there all the time.
And the fact that maybe being nervous never got brought up for, say, Ebony.
Right.
But did get brought up for both Victoria and Chantal.
Yeah, it seems they're kind of pushing this, like, scared Twiggy narrative on these white women that they don't give credit to women of color on this show.
Yeah.
Or just,
it's interesting. It's just, like, I didn't even consider that, but that's an interesting look at that.
Pulling out this nervousness thing where it's just not what applies at all because that's what they want the narrative to be.
Mm-hmm.
We also get a terrible Nigel moment where he refers to himself as English ghetto.
This moment. Because, again, it could have been so funny because he said fitted instead of fit. And Tyra kind of calls him out of like, oh, British people talk so proper. Looks like you don't always talk so proper. And that should have been the edit. And that would have been cute. I always give people the smallest benefit of a doubt that word was a word we said slightly more often because we hadn't had, like, the conversation that we shouldn't.
It was. And Tyra thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, 2020 lens.
Nigel's not been given the feedback that is not. He needs Bianca there to be like, that hood talk isn't a good look on you.
Elimination order.
Can we talk about the fact that she didn't say screen captures or screen grabs? They were
How
photos
did they
on
know
set.
What they were getting?
She said they were photos taken on set. And I was like, that would have been cool to look at.
I wish we had seen them because the glimpses I saw were kind of cool. And
kind of pretty.
Maybe we should have also judged them on that.
We also did that on the other music video. Uh-huh. They took photos on set for Shake Your Body. Why don't we see those? That it could have been such a cool double thing to compare.
Right?
Huh. Also, why can't we take screen captures of music videos? Can we talk? Why isn't that a thing we have?
Lisa's first call out.
Okay.
And then it's Heather, and it feels like they just also got first and second because they got first and second in the casting weirdness earlier,
yeah.
Which is fine.
Then Salisha.
Why?
Then Bianca.
What?
I'm going to say this right now. Based on just the footage, I would have sent Bianca home.
Yes! Uh-huh.
Hers was the only one her and Chantal were the bottom two for me.
Yes.
And Bianca's was unusable to me.
Unusable. Then Ambriel.
Which, thank God, she just, like,
didn't
survived.
Although you didn't do what I told you to. You did the exact opposite of what I told you to do.
Yeah, she's not going to get away unscathed. And then Jenna, because they're punishing her.
Oh, my God. Jenna, I'm sure this is a hard week for you because you're the girl that every week is at the lead of the pack. When we gave you your critique, you just fell apart.
She didn't. She was about ready to rage.
Was she supposed to smile through you telling her that she did badly?
Because that doesn't work for Ambrielle, who does that all the time.
Then, so that leaves Sarah and Chantal in the bottom.
Which Chantal, legit. Like, I think Chantal is legit bottom two placement. Like, yes. Sarah doesn't deserve this.
No!
If you were just guessing, trying to guess who was about to go home from the critique, they say to Chantal that her performance in the video was a waste of film.
Yikes.
And then they send Sarah home.
This had so... It just took me back to Takara's elimination.
Uh-huh.
Fully took me back to Takara's elimination, where it's like at some point they just decided a girl who wasn't the traditional model size was just not going to win this cycle. So they're like, we're done.
Yeah, they very much decided when the storyline was done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah tries to smile through it and then fully crumbles.
Sarah has one of the saddest sobbing moments. So and also it doesn't help that Tyra is talking to Chantal for such a long time.
And also, once again, is like, oh, when you get on, don't be intimidated by getting on set. Has never been Chantal's problem.
Never her story. Because someone needs to tell Chantal that, because it has never crossed her mind to be nervous about being a model.
Or intimidated, for sure.
No!
I will say, the clip we see from this video makes me really miss Shake Your Body. Not a bad video, comparatively.
I still like Shake Your Body's video.
So where is Sarah?
So... Sarah has first of all, it's a very positive update.
Thank God.
Yay. Sarah Hartsthorn.
Ooh.
Hartsthorn. H-A-R-T-S and then horn with an E on it.
Hartshorn. Hartshorn?
I heard her pronounce it like in a video and it still didn't help me. I had a very much a Frederick moment from the other time. So what's cool about this, and I wanted to wait to this reveal, is I have multiple friends who know Sarah.
And
truly, I also might know Sarah.
Even Sarah's.
I know, right? well, to be fair, it's half the cast of Top Model. So if I'm going to know someone, it's a Sarah.
You're going to know a couple. It's going to be
a comedian in New York. She's a comedian in New York. And our friend of the show, Kate. I won't necessarily say Kate's last name, just in case for privacy reasons. But like, she knows her. And she was like, hey, I saw you started Cycle 9. Like, I know her. She's great. She's lovely. I've only heard positive things. It's a very easy update because, like, when I looked her up on Twitter, I wasn't currently following her, but 90 of my friends were. So I literally could have done a show with her and not know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So here's from her official website, which is, I think, sarahbhartsthorn.com. Her very fun, short, brief bio. And then I'll tell you some other fun stuff. So Sarah's best known as the plus-size contestant on Cycle 9 of America's Next Top Model and was voted least annoying contestant of her cycle by the now defunct annoyingornot.com.
Is that like a subsidiary of hotornot.com?
It was. It really was. After the show, she modeled all over the world for clients like Glamour, Vogue, Skechers, and more. Since, finger quotes, retiring... End quotes. Sure. From modeling, she's performed stand-up all over NYC and at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and was part of the Feminist Buzzkills of Comedy Tour with Abortion Access Front, where she is currently a writer. You can see her on Netflix's Explained and HBO's Vice on Consent. Speaking on Consent is what I assume that means. Please follow her on social media. It's how she gets her self-worth. Her Instagram bio is retired plus-size model. And in the parentheses, American Moose Woman.
American what woman?
Moose?
Moose Woman.
Mm. Yeah. Out here on the beach with the fear of the clam in my heart.
What?
And then she's on Twitter and she's mostly making jokes. And there's one joke that I want to share that's very funny. Why is soup trending? Did it die? She also recently was on a Seriously.tv. Y'all remember Seriously.tv? It was like Patty Hardison and some other like comedians that I really enjoy were on it and doing stuff. My friend John was on it and doing a lot of stuff for them. And my friend Katie, who hosted this Should I or Should I Not kind of show where they would get two people with differing opinions. And this was Should I or Should I Not go on a reality TV show. And my friend Dana... I didn't realize this, was on a reality TV show about newlyweds.
Oh.
And she was the pro side, and Sarah was the not go on reality TV show side. And it was, it's very, very funny. There wasn't like necessarily a lot of like tea spilled or anything sure. like that. But she did say that she like continued, as she said, to do a lot of plus size catalog modeling afterwards. And she was like, you know, the show did do its job in the sense that like I didn't consider becoming a model beforehand. And once I was on the show, that was something that I got confidence in and opened up to me. Which is just great. Also, she's our first person to have an OnlyFans. Sarah, and it's not like hidden or anything. It's like all over her like, sure. social media. Sarah BH is the username. And it seems like based on pictures from Instagram and her website and all that good stuff that she does a lot of kind of like sexy costuming.
Nice.
Because you can do like custom costuming kind of stuff. Also, I know that OnlyFans is becoming this space for both sex work stuff and also comedy that's a little bit more uncensored and unrated.
Sure.
So I you know, I'm not subscribed, so I didn't have the ability to watch any of her stuff, but she might be at the intersection of some of those stuff. But yeah, Sarah's living her life in New York as a comedian.
She seemingly lives close to me.
Great.
Because I looked her up. She's in East Harlem. So like
love not, it.
Yeah, great.
Absolutely.
Can we just become friends with Sarah?
Yeah, apparently.
We'll just
apparently,
have her listen. We talk
y'all, about- I might be already. I'm really worried. I'm really worried. I'll be like, hey, I got introduced to you through my friends and blah, blah, blah. And she'll be like, we've met five times.
I'm JW,
like,
oh, I know
cool,
who you are.
Cool energy.
I really like Sarah a lot.
Another contestant that I had no memory of who was
yes.
delightful, who the show just ground into dust. I'm so happy that she thrived afterwards.
I'm going to say... controversial, my favorite Sarah so far.
Ooh,
top Sarah.
She's good. I was gonna say something.
The
also,
Persian community is gonna be so mad well, at you.
I'm gonna also say I think she had the ability to actually be the first plus size quote unquote winner.
I agree.
And I know that some people are gonna be like, but Takara. But I'm like, yeah, but if you when we looked back at Takara, the show treated her poorly, but also her pictures weren't necessarily always the absolute best. While Sarah's always had like some of the top photos for
yeah.
me and uh-huh. seemed like she would have been good in more commercially stuff later.
And had a good walk.
Yep.
Well, yeah. I think maybe that's part of the reason they were so like up their butts about this plus size thing is they were like in their heads, they were quote losing their plus size winner, which is so silly. But yeah, Sarah's like, it's so interesting how Cycle 9 has been such a cycle of me learning to love people that I completely didn't even remember before.
Revelations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reveals.
And if you think we reveal things, go to our only. No. You should rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. Not our OnlyFans yet, but you should do that and leave us a nice little review. We love hearing from you. And if you can't leave us a review on iTunes, you can go to podchaser.com. Or you can send us an email, and not a handwritten letter, through our website, podleadem.com. We love hearing it. I forward them immediately to Hannah and JW.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little nice little wake up.
The best part of waking up is Tara Mail on my phone.
Also, if you'd like to support us, if that's what makes you happy, you can always do that at anchor.fm/podleadem. And, throw us some of your loose change that you find. And you
literally count. 99 cents is all you need to throw us.
You can find me anywhere at Yet Charming.
Come check me out on Instagram at Hannah Jean Ginsburg.
And I don't have as good as soup jokes, but I'm on Twitter at JW Crump.
And always use the hashtag PodLeadem so that we can lap it up like soup.
I love
it. So for PodLeadem, I have been Alexander Price.
I'll be Hannah Jean Ginsburg.
And I'm JW Crump.
And we'll see you on top.
Podleadem is not endorsed by America's Next Top Model, Tyra Banks, 10x10 Entertainment, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. America's Next Top Model and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.